Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Well, you'll try.
Hello, Properly Howard fans. This week, Steve and I will be saying our farewells to Malcolm Jamal Warner, Ozzy Osbourne, and Hulk Hogan. After that, we'll do a bit of listener feedback. As always, you should be checking out what's going on at thelorehounds.com. Most especially, I am looking forward to their coverage of Alien Earth, which is a new prestige TV alien series that functions as kind of a prequel to the first film. That ought to be a lot of fun. We'll be back next week with our coverage of the movie Witness. Without further ado, here is my beloved co-host, stand-up comic Steve Osborne. To me, this may be the most important podcast we ever record.
Because is this what we confess we killed Hulk Hogan?
I mean, someone had to do it.
Yeah, it was just it's a victimless crime.
Here's what I'll say. I'll say that it's very possible, Steve, that 200 years from now, historians look back to the career of Hulk Hogan and they locate this one personality as the beginning of the decline of Western civilization. But he was more important than Jesus to me in 1984. His passing.
I mean, he's the one who taught you to pray, or at least the importance of it, putting it in the top three.
I didn't know what the training was. I did take Flintstone vitamins. I didn't know what kind of vitamins he was taking.
Yeah, well, it might have explained his hastened death. But how come we? Now we always do the thoughts and prayers. I think really we should be good, like training and prayers,
vitamins, and other blessings. For me, Hulk Hogan caught me at the exact right age for whatever it was that he did.
Yeah. No, that's a great way to put it. There was a certain improbability to his prowess, right? I mean, not I wouldn't say the most handsome gentleman.
I would love to see. I was thinking about this today. I was thinking like, I would like to describe Hulk Hogan to a team of marketing experts and try to like tell them that this is a good idea.
I think years ago I'd heard it put, somebody said, if Hulk Hogan never existed, would we feel the need to invent him?
Well, all right, let's start with the name. All right, so Terry's not a great wrestling name. So you're going to need a good one. So Hulk, right? All right, good. All right, Hulk, that's good. All right, so he's going to be green, right? No, he'll be yellow and tan.
He'll be impossibly yellow.
He'll be a yellow you've never seen before.
Yeah, he's just, he's like.
You're like, okay. Okay, well, at least he'll be like some big hairy Italian guy like Lou Ferrigno, right? No, mostly hairless.
Yeah, mostly hairless.
The hair will be very distinctive where it actually grows.
Right. Yeah, but yeah.
It won't grow most places.
Hulk Hogan was such sort of this, contradiction and just this enigmatic figure that you were more interested in where the hair was as opposed to where it wasn't.
Right. Yeah. For whatever reason.
Like a bald guy, you'd be like, oh, they're bald. But for him, it was just like, oh, look at where it is. It's right there, and it's going to stay right there. Of all the different, like, performance enhancers he went through, like, nothing for the hair.
This was 1980s. This was sort of like, look, if you were Bruce Willis, you were just going to have to out-charisma the balding.
Yeah.
Now, were you a fan of his cinematic career?
I was always more a fan of his racism.
It was really more your speed.
It just, I don't know, you know, maybe just how it was raised. Let's see, how many movies are we talking here? We're talking, of course, that he played famously Thunder Lips in Rocky III.
Uh-huh.
He,
course, No Holds Barred, which he actually...
No Holds Barred, which...
He wrote.
Oh, and it shows. If there was ever a movie where you could tell that the script was probably mostly finger-painted...
No Holds Barred for me was a problem.
Was it? Which part? The all of it, like it is for me?
I wasn't allowed to see it.
You don't, and you still shouldn't be. I will not allow you to watch this movie. I watched 24 minutes of it the other day, and
did you really?
Wow, holy wow.
So
I mean, I felt like I'm like, I can't even say I've never done cocaine because I feel like I did.
So, I wasn't allowed to see it. And of course, you know, it was like the most important thing in my world. And I guess they introduced the character of Zeus in this. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then Zeus became a wrestler.
Yeah.
And for me, that was sort of like, I don't get it. Like, that guy's an actor.
Right. It was an interesting attempt, right? Because they're like, okay, well, we'll recreate this rivalry from the movie, but it's not like Hulk Hogan played Hulk Hogan in the movie. So if I recall correctly, they may have like tried to make it seem like Zeus was actually Zeus, but there was like an issue during filming, like they would acknowledge that that Hogan wasn't Hogan.
This was about the same time when I was kind of wondering, like, is Mr. T, like, is he a real boxer?
Is he a real person?
Is he real?
Is he just cereal?
It's sort of that age where it's sort of like, I there's a part of me that kind of knows that this is fantasy, but it looks real, and I kind of want it to be real.
Right.
It's
kind of like, it's the same way I looked at my parents' marriage. It's like it looks real. I want it to be real. Everything around me suggests it's fake.
So, you know, not being able to see No Holds Barred, it broke my heart. And I probably never recovered from that.
He intimidates a limo driver to the point where the limo driver poops his pants.
No, I've seen that scene for sure. And then he's angry because it smells.
Where he screams out, Dookie. He says yeah. Dookie, as a human being, wrote it in a script, not an ad lib. And there are actors who auditioned for that part and didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking the other day, like, in terms of the trifecta of Ozzy Osbourne, Malcolm Jamal Warner, and Hulk Hogan. I think Theo Huxtable was probably the most important in terms of sort of broader cultural impact.
Uh-huh.
It just so happened to be that Hulk Hogan just caught me at the right time. Like, in my world, he was Jesus. And, you know, I watched the Cosby Show like everyone else.
Right. But you weren't tuning in for Theo.
I was not tuning in for Theo, although I did kind of feel like Theo.
Uh-huh.
And my older sisters would tell me that I was Theo every now and again. So there was sort of like, for me...
Nobody was telling you were Hulk Hogan.
No one was telling me it was Hulk Hogan. And, you know, look, in the mythology of my youth, there were people in the world who were demon possessed. And it was kind of iffy. Like, maybe that guy's person. The only person that was absolutely demon possessed was Ozzy Osbourne. Like, he was the only one. I was like, no, there's no doubt about it. That guy's definitely got a few demons going on. And birds of the world, look out, because your heads are not safe around this man. So, you know, he was closer to the devil to me. Theo Huxtable was a little bit, he's sort of like almost the everyman to me. And then Hulk Hogan was a god.
Right. So Theo represents mortals.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what you can relate to, right? So he's more of your, in this Clash of the Titans, he's your Perseus.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, that's right. And then Ozzy Osbourne's a Kraken.
He's the Kraken. And then, yeah. And then, of course, Hogan is Zeus.
Hogan is Zeus. And all of the questionable things that Zeus did, Hogan also did. All right. Anything else that you'd like to say for the Hulkster?
I think it's important to that we're here talking about the like the Hulk Hogan, the character.
Oh, really?
I don't think that's real clear that we're just for those that for some reason, I was going to say just tuning in, like for some reason they just like got into part of the podcast instead of starting from the beginning. This wasn't so much just a retrospective on Terry as a person.
Oh, for sure.
And so, but I mean, since we're on the topic, did you have any? I seem to remember you having like being an Aussie fan in high school. Am I crazy?
Yeah, no, there was a. I guess into my junior high years, there was a lot of fear around him.
Mm-hmm. And he sang songs.
You know, for sure, because, you know, if you listen to some of these songs, I'm sure that you would be demon-possessed at some point.
Sure.
So I was afraid of that.
Or at least want to play Dungeons & Dragons.
And then my dad bought a car. I think it was like a green Datsun. And with the car came a tape in a tape deck.
Oh, wow. So the car was possessed.
And it was, you know... It was sort of a revelation. It was I listened for the very first time, and I was sort of like seduced.
Yeah, that's what the Prince of Darkness will do.
Just today, I was listening to the War Pigs, and it holds up, man.
Just
a fantastic artist. You know, looking back on it, could maybe demon possessed, but
right. But I mean, who's to say who is and who isn't, and what kind of demons we're talking about? I always feel like the more obvious the demon possessed person is, probably the least likely that they're demon possessed. I know that sort of goes against sort of the typical representation of like people writhing around and swearing and picking at themselves. And again, it's like, okay, well, that's meth. But like, you know, in terms of actual demon possession, I figured they might want to be a little more subtle about it.
Okay, so for me, both WrestleMania and Ozzy Osbourne kind of existed in oral history for me before I actually saw anything or heard anything from them.
Right.
Because early on, it was sort of like people would come to school and talk about how, you know, Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant. And it was the first time that's ever been done. And so you kind of heard about it before you actually saw it because it was not accessible.
Right.
Same thing with Ozzy Osbourne. What was the oral history about Ozzy Osbourne? He was it a bat? For me, it was a bat.
Yeah, bit the head off a bat. People said chicken.
But that was, you know, that was sort of like it had gone through a few iterations of distortion before it got to me. But to me, that
you just find out he's just got low blood sugar. That's not a problem.
Bit the head off of a live bat while on stage. And that was just kind of like lore on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, then you just see an image of his face and you're thinking, oh, yeah, that holds up.
That's a bat eater right there.
If anyone's going to bite the head off a bat, that's it. And then it became bite the head off a live bird.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe the story is like someone threw a dead bird on stage or something.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. It's one of those things where it's like, if you just were to just take the moment, like, I think it's important to do this juxtaposition given their recent deaths. For those of you who are just tuning in, and this is the first you've heard of it, yes, Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan have both passed away. Hogan, he cross around the neck, Praying Trez vitamins, Hulkamania is all about, you know, it's respecting your parents, all that kind of thing. Still had, there was a wholesome quality to...
Oh, it was sort of the truest form of American manhood.
Patriot.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And then you've got Ozzy Osbourne, who, you know, just if I just told you he's from, you know, England, that's enough. And
Satanists from England.
Yeah, exactly. So he couldn't it be more opposite. But then now here we are sitting here going, well, who seemed like who might have actually been a little bit more wholesome when all things were said and done compared to each other. And you know.
When I was a young man, I read this Christian apologetics book, and it was an imagined dialogue between JFK, C.S. Lewis, and Aldous Huxley, who all died within hours of each other. And in this book, the three find themselves on, you know, sort of kind of a purgatory type of place before they reach judgment. And they have this long dialogue about sort of the nature of reality, the nature of God, the nature of the human spirit. And they each have a very different perspective. And I would like to see something like that written, but the dialogue is in between Ozzy Osbourne, Hulk Hogan, and Malcolm Jamal.
Yeah, I love the idea of Malcolm just being like, I don't know what either of you are saying right now. No, it was in order, but...
Steve, I think we need a goat pen update.
Today, I will be putting in the flooring for the shed that we've basically turned into a goat barn. And I will create an opening for them. But the fence is up.
The goats are going to live in the shed.
Well, that's where they'll go, I guess, at night and when the weather is inclement.
Uh-huh.
And then they have the pen. The pen is all fenced. And
it is my understanding that these are deformed goats or malshapen.
Yeah, one is refurbished. Or...
what is it about this goat that is...
It's irregular, like a pair of Ross jeans.
Blemished.
Kind of has like a Stephen Colbert ear.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. It's not so bad. I mean, you can get pretty far with the Stephen Colbert ear.
Well, I mean, until next May, I guess.
You never know. I mean, he might that ear might pop up elsewhere in our lives.
True, true.
So the goats, you got two goats coming in. You've been working around the clock trying to provide a nice living space for these goats.
Yeah, suitable shelter for sure.
Was it Heather pushing for the goats, or were you the goat aficionado here?
We got, you know, I mean, we're no stranger to the goats.
You're a goat positive family.
Yeah, we've goated before.
Oh, did I know that?
I don't know. It was a long time ago.
I remember chickens. I definitely remember chickens and.
Yeah, we had two goats.
Dogs of all kinds. I think I gifted you a frog at one point.
Yeah, I believe so.
You had a goat-shaped hole in your heart.
Right. It was rectangular. And we had an opportunity. So Heather has a colleague that raises goats.
Gotcha.
So when an opportunity arose to take, you know, basically like, we don't know what to do with this... this deformed goat, and then of course we're like,
the goat was too deformed for your wife's colleague to look at. She just couldn't
she couldn't handle it. Yeah, it's
anything,
Rocky Dennis of goats.
Anything to sort of take my eyes away from the goat pupil would be right. A positive for me. All right, that's good. So you almost got it ready, and then when do the goats actually relocate?
The goats arrived today, so I'm
okay.
I'm, you know, it's we're down to the wire in terms. Like, I mean, they're be fine. You know, I mean, I think if for some reason, you know, I couldn't deal with the inside of the shed today, but I'll get to it. I'll definitely get to it. We'll be ready. We got some, you know, we'll do some other things as time goes on. You know, because these are gateway goats.
All right. Does that mean that you're in the market for a cow or something like
well,
that?
Well, I think the starter goats, you know, if we do well with these goats, then, you know, who knows, maybe we'll level up on how many goats.
I see. All right. Okay. So, Steve, my idea was that we should probably catch up with our fans, or mm-hmm. I don't know such if they're actually the fans that there are. A handful of listeners that
we're going to be reading spam mail.
So
XYG at GarbageTownUSA writes, good news. We can get you a good rate on your student loan.
So you may have forgotten this a long time ago, but there is a Discord page dedicated to this particular podcast. And yeah. I feel like I don't check in on it often enough.
I don't. I've checked on it twice ever, and I feel bad because I know it exists. But
you should feel bad. I'm gonna go. I'm just gonna catch you up on what's happening on the Discord page. But before I do, Doug has written us an iTunes review, which we've promised to read on this podcast. So thank you, Doug. Here's what Doug writes. He says, absurdly good, 5 stars. Steve and Anthony are both very intelligent, funny, and insightful. I enjoy their discussions regardless of having seen the movie or not. All right, so this is where the review gets a little dubious. First, I started listening to Perfect Stranger Things, then to Cocoons of Horror, then Severance, and finally Electric Boogaloo. I enjoy the regular life topic so much that I listen to podcasts about a TV show I've never watched, a second of books that I've never read a word of, except to find out who Jack and Hagar was. So I absolutely appreciate the review, Doug. All nice things to say. I'm a little bit worried.
You're worried?
Well,
you don't do well with people like liking you, or I guess.
No. I look, if it seems
how,
to me,
how
like,
often do you question Sarah's love for you?
On a daily basis.
Why are you still here?
I'm so gross.
Look at me. Look at this.
I'm hideous.
I'm the sickness in sickness and health.
I don't know how I feel about someone listening and enjoying, but not having reviewed the content that we're discussing.
I think not watching Hero at Large is the best move.
All right. That does bring me to another element of just to catch you up on our Discord page. This is an exchange between 3 of our listeners. And I just thought I'd...
All of them.
I thought I'd read you what these voices have to contribute. Voice 1, I've never even heard of Hero at Large, but that looks fun. Voice 2, no one has. Voice 3, which is why it's a perfect movie for Properly Howard. So I just thought that little exchange, I just feel like these folks guess.
Yeah.
They're in on the joke.
Yeah, I just wonder if, like, because sometimes I start to, like, you don't want to, like, just be a one-trick pony, but, like, people are like, wait a minute, like, No Country for Old Men, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Mm-hmm. I've always heard
my view that, you know, create a podcast that 3 people will like a lot and no one else will listen to.
And then stray from the formula so you lose those 3.
This is also from the Discord.
Aisha doesn't really have a question, but she just contributed that Big Trouble in Little China is one of her very favorite films. Oh, good. And she's sort of wondering why that might be the case. She says, maybe it's because I'm like Jack Burton, too much confidence, zero skills, and she can talk and drive at the same time.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Not everyone can.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that. That's like talking and driving at the same time. That don't underrate yourself, Aisha.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something that not many people can do well.
So the CB radio, is that exempt from the whole hands-free rule?
Well, okay, is Jack Burton holding the little device? Because
you paid your dues, Jack. Yes, sir, the check is in the mail.
Hands-free wasn't really even a thing until there were cell phones, right?
Sure, sure.
Or really even smartphones were sort of, all right, so... You're asking if the CB has been grandfathered in.
Yeah, like if that, you know, because I mean, the hands-free CB has to exist. I don't even, like, do people CB anymore?
Seems like there'd be some kind of headset involved in CBing these. I do have a friend who's a truck driver. I could ask him.
Yeah, because I just would think that maybe the CB has gone the way of the VCR.
I would like to know this, because I'm sure that all of the... banter that's happening on CB radio is on the up and up for sure.
Is Discord basically the new CB?
I'm sure that it has been supplanted, but you know what, you never know when you're gonna need to, you know, return to the old ways.
CB has lost much of its original appeal due to development of mobile phones, the internet, and the family radio service.
I suggest we go back.
We'll have no choice.
Right now, we're going to make this announcement. From now on, Properly Howard will be a podcast that's only conducted via CB, and while one of us is driving.
Well, I guess there's. I'm reading here that CB radio has once again gained popularity in recent years. An uptick not seen since the 90s. Manufacturers report an increase in sales, while social media sites like YouTube show a growing popularity in CB radio content, mainly as a hobby.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Have you ever, in earnest, said the phrase breaker, breaker, 1-9?
Not in earnest. I mean, I think, I don't know how often you were into walkie-talkies as a kid, but a lot of our walkie-talkie banter was sort of a mimic of the kinds of stuff we would hear on a CB radio.
Right. Like, we didn't really know. We just sort of like, oh, BJ and the Bear is teaching us this. And so, like, I don't know. Like, I don't, you know, I mean, it would be fun if we had to do our podcast and every time, like, I gave a hot take, I had to say over.
I think it'd be great if we actually had to push a button that would silence the other person. So a lot of our conversation was just like, what? Your finger's on the button. I didn't hear you.
Over.
This is also from the Discord. Lots of discussion on Discord about whether Rocky is a sports movie.
That's good.
And, you know, I'm just glad that the discussion is happening. I want that to be a common topic of conversation. I don't know if it needs to be settled, but I'm glad that it's an open question.
Right, right. It's not a sports movie. It's the same question as, is Caddyshack a sports movie?
It's hard to know if Rocky is creating the tropes, a lot of the tropes that's using, or whether, like, would... Some of the, like, the issue of, like, having a sports montage, did that exist before Rocky? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. So, like, there's all these arguments, right? Like, oh, Rocky's a love story. Air Bud's a love story. There's all these different things, that, you know, if we want to really focus in on the sports aspect versus, you know, the subtext.
Air Bud has always kind of been a running joke in between my wife and I. We've never seen it, but, you know, whenever we can't think of something to watch, it'll be like, well, there's always Air Bud. And then this was, I don't know, 20 years ago, but we happened to be in a city where the director of Air Bud was going to be giving a talk.
And I about Air Bud?
Just about sort of directing, you know, the process of directing. I forget the guy's name.
I love the idea that there's this place that's just like, hey, you know, we really want to get a symposium about directing. Is there anyone that we can afford or get?
Yep. And I thought, I'm going to check this out. So I decided to go, and I sat in the first 10 minutes. And he started with a great joke. And I thought, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good joke. He said, you know, when you write fiction, they say write what you know. So I wrote Air Bud. Which I thought was pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's
wasn't good enough to make me want to go see Air Bud or any of the sequels. All right. So we are on the topic of genre and genre bending, and that brings us to Davey Mack, who asked this question.
I thought it was going to bring us to Air Bud 2, a golden receiver.
An entire season based on Air Bud 2. this is specifically related to this season. All right. So Davey Mack writes, for the No Country and Old Men episode, one of my favorite films, my question around your discussion of whether No Country qualifies as a Western. I was just curious if you are aware of the idea of genre cycles, where a genre starts in the innovation experimentation phase. Then, as the genre solidifies, it moves into a classical phase. Then, after a time, the tropes get tired and the parody phase is born. The last phase is the revisionist phase. And he thinks that No Country is a revisionist Western. I'm not familiar with this cycle, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think that's kind of maybe, you know, without having all the information on it, I kind of feel like maybe that's what the point I was trying to make, right?
Yeah, it's possible that we were sort of working with sort of rudimentary categories.
Yeah, we didn't have the terminology or the intelligence.
No, we were dumb.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't put it in past tense. There's still much more we can do.
So I like this idea. He's calling No Country a revisionist Western. Yeah, so, yeah, I guess my question would be, like, revising in unique ways, right? Because you kept a lot of the tropes intact in this movie.
Well, and you have to, right, to maintain the genre.
Yeah, right. I mean,
because otherwise, you can't revise a genre and then not, like, I think in order to do that, you have to, like, still somewhat pay tribute to the trope elements.
All right, let me ask you this, like, how much revision would be necessary to consider it a revisionist Western? Because if it's just like a tiny variation on an old trope, it feels to me like that's not enough revision to call it revision.
I feel like, and again, I'm working with almost no knowledge, which is really good for
this point, that's our brand.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, spoiler alert, we've never watched these movies either. I think you, in order to be a I would think that to revise it is to sort of upend, maybe not necessarily just the expectations, but to take some of the tropes and then you subvert them, right? Like you maybe are looking through a lens that's maybe a little bit more critical, with more like with maybe a touch of realism. Like for a Western, for example, if you take some of the early Westerns, and they have sort of this like very prototypical, you know, good guy, bad guy, there's a little bit of dirt and grime and everything, but there's still somewhat of this sense of like heroes and villains, and those are clearly outlined, and then they're added color. Whereas in this one, we have a lot more shades of gray, and even Tommy Lee Jones is a good sheriff. It's like, yeah, but he's also real tired and doesn't really get his man. So that I think is like the subversion, right? So you overlay this idea of realism and I wouldn't say like nihilism per se, but like there is, it does take away some of what you would expect riding off into the sunset. That just does not happen, right?
I guess. I still feel.
I don't know what you want.
I don't know what I want either. I do still feel like it's more Western than it is revisionist Western. And I, you know, again,
see, I think very that's where categories. I think that's the problem you're having is that you're suggesting that a revisionist Western is not a Western. And I think the whole point is what he's saying is that this is the cycle of the genre. So therefore, this is a Western. Calling it a revisionist Western does not negate its Western sensibility, but it basically is saying that this is an evolved version of the Western.
I get it.
I don't think so.
You're right. I don't get it. Moving on.
Yeah. I get it in so much as I have more to talk about.
This is our old buddy, Don't Hassle the Hoff. Congrats on a new season. When you first floated the bacon idea, I wasn't sure that you'd be able to pull off the draft, let alone pack a season full of such great movies. I shall never doubt the genius of the Properly Howard podcast model again. I learned a few things. Dancing is dangerous. Inflating an Asian man is probably racist. Anthony has an affinity for hippies. I do. And I'm going to say this wrong. Vapid is one of the more confounding words in our language. Did I say it wrong?
You for sure said it wrong.
Damn it.
That's your thing.
That's going to be my thing. Vapid is one of the more confounding words in our language. And
well, at least for you.
And measles and polio are just a small inconvenience to society. All right. He has a couple questions. For Steve, if your original Sharknado script had been sold and greenlit, which of these bacon-wrapped directors would have been the best fit to direct it? John Hughes, John Carpenter, Quentin Tarantino, or the Coen brothers?
I mean, honestly, Carpenter would be amazing.
Carpenter would be the best, for sure, for that one. Unless if you could actually resurrect John Hughes, that would sell the movie, right?
Yeah. I'll just weekend at Bernie's him just so that I can get the credit.
All right. This is for Anthony. Who's the biggest threat to society in these first five movies? Alec Baldwin, David Lopan, Rutger Hauer's vampire Lothos, Charles Manson, or Anton Chigurh? I mean, In so much as Anton Chigurh is kind of a metaphor for
Alec Baldwin's character in
Anton Chigurh is a metaphor for real life Alec Baldwin. No, I'm not worried about David Lopan because I don't have green eyes. Rutger Hauer.
His is a very specific journey.
Rutger Hauer's vampire Lothos. I mean, he's more silly, right? Charles Manson is long gone. So I'm going to say sort of Anton Chigurh probably would be my choice here. Thanks for getting me through my boring work days. Don't Hassle the Hoff. Thank you, Hoff, for that. Some other Discord conversations. There was some indignation that Telly Savalas and Yul Brynner were not mentioned in our Best Bald Actors discussion. So I guess I should issue a mea culpa for that.
No, I think you've got to stand on it. Stand on it. You
I guess
sit there.
You know what? I'll be honest. I think I've seen one Yul Brynner movie, and I never really was into any sort of Telly Savalas.
I think I've only seen one Yul Brynner movie as well, and that's Westworld.
Westworld. That's right.
Spilled your drink.
Sloppy with your drink. And then there was some sort of respectful disagreement with my yucking of the penguin. So I think I'm gonna stand my ground on that one.
Yeah, the Emmys seem to enjoy.
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
you see, Severance, every main character in Severance is up for.
Is that right?
Emmy. Yeah,
that's fantastic news. Again, you know, it's like, do the Emmys really matter? Like, have you ever watched the Emmys on like the televised award show?
I mean, I'm sure when we had three channels.
I've never watched the Emmys. I've watched the Oscars tons throughout the years. And not to say even that the Oscars really matter, but I at least I watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it has something to do with how much TV you watch, maybe. Like, I don't know. I've never seen the Emmys as being particularly like Golden Globes, I think, would be more interesting than the Emmys.
Again, but have you ever watched the Golden Globes?
Well, no.
I mean, I've watched like bits on YouTube, I suppose. I'm just saying, I don't really put a lot of stock into these award shows. I don't even put stock into the awards won, except for every now and again, I'll look at it and think, scratch my head and thinking, how on earth did that happen?
Yeah, I used to like the MTV movie or video awards, whatever those, like the video awards and then the MTV movie awards, I thought were good. I was of that age where, like, you know, they would do some kind of silly things every once in a while. So it wasn't like it was fun. It didn't feel like it took itself too seriously.
As always, we love iTunes reviews. We will read them on this podcast if you write one. Any emails can be sent to cocoonsofhorror@gmail.com. And if you know how to look up things on Discord, I would imagine you'd be able to find Properly Howard. I cannot tell you how to do that.
No, I have a link, and that's all I know.
They sent me something. I press the button, and I see people telling me that my takes on the Penguin are misinformed.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.